Welcome, Dumbheads, to MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. In this series, we are examining every single goddamn page of Palladium's Beyond the Supernatural RPG to determine what is the dumbest thing on that page. Every episode is one page, every episode is short. If you'd like to play along at home, this is Beyond the Supernatural 2nd Edition, the first printing from January 2005. Today we're discussing page 144 of Beyond the Supernatural. We are still in the experience section. Well, I say we're in the experience section. We're in the preamble to the experience section where the author is repeatedly trying, and in my mind failing, at defending the rules we are about to read any minute now. First attempt, a couple of pages ago, the author told us, hey look, these rules have been thoroughly playtested. We've considered all the other possible options. This is the absolute best you can do. We've tried and experimented with everything. These rules are exactly the way we wanted them. Next page, which was yesterday, the author told us, secondly, if you don't believe in the empirical evidence of playtesting, consider the case of Batman. A wonderful example of the objective reality, the characters are most interesting when they start out as incompetent bumblers, as in the case of Batman's famous debut in Batman Year One in 1987. Much more interesting than characters who just start out already competent crime fighters and then have exciting adventures for 50 years and then we may happen to wonder, hey, what were they like before they were cool? Then the author goes on to say, hey, forget about Batman. Experience levels are realistic because quarterbacks and boxers and role-playing game designers get better at the things that they do and also everything else in their lives at a static rate across the board in discrete increments, just like in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons. That's what life is. You can see the evidence of it all around you. Then, starting at the end of last page, but mainly extending onto this one, the author's tack changes again. He's unpredictable. He's zigzagging. This rhetorical strategy, if the author says something different every paragraph, you can't track him. You can't quite bring him down. Trying to lead him with that machine gun, you can't do it. Before you know it, he's all the way across the field. He's leaping over your machine gun nest. He drops a grenade. He runs off into the distance. Boom! Huge explosion. You're dead. And by dead, I mean a Palladium fan. He gotcha. He fucking gotcha. And he escaped unscathed. This particular zigzag starts out about the realism argument, but quickly takes a turn. Quote, brains and learning equal knowledge, experience, and advancement. That's in bold typeface. Brains and learning equal knowledge, experience, and advancement. The paragraph goes on to say, you will also notice that the characters get the most experience from using their heads and role-playing interaction rather than killing things. Killing monsters is a good thing and fun to play, but ultimately it breaks down to little more than target practice, not growth as a human being or a deep character. Consequently, experience is gained from using the right skill at a critical moment, or using skill knowledge to win or survive a situation, or taking an action that rescues others. Rescues others? How does that come into it? Dimly, you become aware. Something is not right. Something has changed. But Zimbeet has already taken that sharp left turn. He's out of your field of vision. He's running around you. Next paragraph, quote, since the characters are, presumably good guys, self-sacrifice, acts of kindness, mercy, compassion, and heroics all earn experience. He goes on to say, I may also award points for pure guts and courage, but not false bravado, foolish refusal to back down out of pride, spite, or stupidity, or showing off. I'm confused. My head is spinning. I dimly remember that at the beginning of this little section, there was like a bold face. It said something like, brains and learning equal knowledge, experience, and advancement. Like, applying intelligence and getting practical experience is what helps you to learn and grow. But I can barely remember that time now. There's been so much back and forth, so much zigging and zagging. Now we're talking about, well, one way you can get experience points, since presumably the characters are heroes, is that when you do things to help other people, that's good for experience points. That's how you learn, is by helping other people. Or just doing good things. Like, if you have a good idea that doesn't actually help, it doesn't actually work, but it was a clever thing to think of, that gives you experience points. Or if you're brave, but not if you're, like, false bravado. Not if you're showing off. It really goes to intent. What experience comes down to is, what were you trying to accomplish? Because if you're a show-off, you don't deserve experience points. But if you're being nice, then you do deserve experience points, and you get what you deserve, because advancement comes from, you know, playing a good and heroic character and behaving in a moral way. Wait, sorry, what? Too late to ask questions. He's already moving on. Quote, negative and foolish actions get no experience points. So if I get into a lot of fights because I'm like Marty McFly in Back to the Future and I refuse to back down, that's foolish bravado, and so I don't ever get better at fighting because my actions are negative and foolish, even though I am fighting like a lot. Like every day. Yeah, you don't get experience points for foolish and negative actions. Only when your cause is just and your heart is pure do you get experience points, I guess. Like a quarterback or a boxer. By the time this page, 144, begins, we're fully off on this other train of thought. Quote, Positive, helpful, noble, and heroic measures, as well as character interaction, playing in character, figuring things out, planning intelligent strategies and tactics, helping other characters, being heroes, and good ideas all earn experience. So does playing a rogue or villain, if it is done in character and with style and intelligence. Okay, so now I don't even have to be a good person, but if I'm playing a bad person, then I get points for the opposite, for being a dickhead, but I have to do it with style. So now I'm being judged on like these aesthetic grounds. This is totally new. How does this square with that thing you said like last paragraph about negative and foolish actions not garnering any experience? So like if I'm playing a bad person who uses his cool skills to do dickhead things to show off, then I don't get experience for that because it's showing off. And I further don't get experience for it because it's a negative action. But I do get experience for it for playing a rogue or villain, but only if it's done with style, which means I need to show off and make it cool in order to get the experience. I'm so confused at this point, but never fear, this knot is summarily cut as the page continues. We get a couple of little sections about like, hey, you can tweak this game. You don't have to run it the way we do it. Just do whatever the fuck you want. Then there's a little bit about styles of play, where it says like how different people in the Palladium offices like to run their games. Quote, Alex focuses on technology and science. Eric likes to play up aspects of puzzles, finding clues and uncovering mysteries and new technology. Julius likes to focus on the adventure and heroics, and so on and so on. So far, you may not be seeing the relevance. I didn't, but hold on. Quote, never forget this is a game. Entertainment. The whole idea is having fun with friends. If you and your pals are having fun, you're playing just fine. Seems initially like the standard kind of rule zero boilerplate, like, hey, I know we're telling you how to play, but we're not trying to tell you how to play. Just do whatever. It is followed, though, by an odd little couple of paragraphs, an odd little subsection hanging out all by itself that gets down to the nitty-gritty, the seedy underbelly, the real dark truth of experience points in role-playing games. Quote, in a game context, one of the tangible accomplishments and rewards the player receives is experience points for his or her fictional alter ego. Yes, the character or the player group as a whole may make money, get booty, find a powerful magic item or artifact, and or win the adoration of those they've rescued. That's all cool. But the growth of the character via experience points for heroism, playing in character, and using your smarts are the real achievement for the individual player. The heading of this couple of paragraphs is, quote, experience points are their own reward, and that is the God's honest truth about experience points. Experience points are not for buying up your stats. They're not really for like increasing skills. They're not to simulate how a character gets better in real life or in comic books. Experience points are Scooby snacks. Every GM and every group and every table, every player has their own particular preference of style of play, all that stuff, a different experience they want from the campaign. You may want any number of different things when you all get together to roleplay. And the way you achieve it is, when somebody does the thing you want them to do, you give them a Scooby snack. Experience points are their own reward. They are Scooby snacks. Hey, you told a funny joke, 5 XP. Sweet, I feel 5 points better as a human being. Let me tell more jokes. You were nice to that NPC instead of killing them on sight like I thought you would. Here's 10 XP. 10 XP? I gotta stop killing motherfuckers. This is great. That's it. They're their own reward. It feels good to get XP. And that core valid insight is the reason for the dumbest and most wonderful thing on this page, the illustration. Filling the right-hand column, there's a wonderful illustration placed here, I think haphazardly but serendipitously, of a man in a short sleeve pattern shirt with a belt with a big cowboy belt buckle. He's taking a long, satisfying drag on a cigarette while he looks down at the horrific skeletal monster he has apparently just slain, just basking in the afterglow, because experience points are their own reward. The experience point is like the cigarette the GM gives you after you kill the monsters. And this illustration is perfect for that. It is the only time I can recall that I've seen in a role-playing book an illustration of a player character just standing there and having that wonderful bliss out, like after combat feeling of like, yeah, yeah. We fucking killed those skeletons. Ah, feel that rush of experience points coursing through your blood? Give me more of that. I could roll dice for another hour. I need more of that false sense of accomplishment. Experience points. The most brilliant and demonic idea ever to come out of role-playing games. The insight that a situation could be engineered to give human beings a sense of accomplishment for literally nothing. You can't see them, you can't taste them, you can't feel them, they have no weight, they have no substance, but experience points just feel so good. And this is just, it's a picture of that. Go check it out on the Instagram. I love it. And it explains much better than any of the previous couple of pages could how you award experience points. Forget Batman, forget quarterbacks, forget boxers, forget Kevin Sambita, forget heroism or not heroism, showing off, blah, blah, blah. Give your players Scooby snacks after they do something you like and they'll do it again. That's it. Anyway, with the rationale sorted, Join me next time as we actually attach some numbers and rules to this concept the author's been blathering about on MDC, the Mega Dumbcast. This has been Mega Dumbcast. New episodes drop every day except for Sundays, when all the previous week's episodes drop in one big megasode on the top-secret Patreon-only RSS feed. If you'd like to get access to that RSS feed and support the show, go to patreon.com/megadumbcast. Contact or check out the show wherever you want. I am Mega Dumbcast on Twitter, Instagram, Gmail, Podbean, your favorite podcatcher, etc., etc. MDC, Palladium Books, Beyond the Supernatural, and all associated trademarks are property of Kevin Zimbita. This season's theme song is Horizon Ending by Soft and Furious, whose work you can find at loyaltyfreakmusic.com. Dumbheads, I will catch you next time.